You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Previously on Once More with Dragons.
As you and Lily walk out the door and she gasps and goes, the understudies. Each of these figures is wearing a maroon cloak, and on the back of that cloak is emblazoned a red and yellow bird across the shoulders.
Can I take this cloak and put it on myself?
If you would like.
I put it on myself and say, I'm finally a T-bird.
You see in front of the Hohenstein has an imposing marquee shining above you. On it is a 10-foot-tall, magical neon face of a smiling elf lady with bright white teeth. Beneath that, it says, Caroline Chandler is Dragotha in Hello, Dragotha by Florence Schick. And Susie Bowman says, my goodness, what a delightful day. The three of you, I am so happy to welcome you to the Liedernander organization as our newest batch of ushers. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. Next steps, right? Lily, how do we do this? Opening night is tomorrow night, so that'll be your first night on the job. Come 2 hours before showtime. Between now and then, you're going to head over to Tim Taylor's Tailor and Trinkets to get fitted for your ushering uniforms.
I'd like to get on the ground floor of this dear Elvish Hansen.
Yes, sir. Gregory it was, right? I think I overheard that before. I'll write that down here. Gregory. Yes, we'll be in touch.
Once more with Dragons. Arc 1, The Lights of Imperia. Chapter 2, A Stitch in Time Means Crime.
Find yourself happily skipping down the boulevard in Imperia.
I do not skip. I'm having a great day. They can skip. I will stroll majestically.
I'm trying my best. I really am.
You lumber your way down the street. I think you all got right off the train and headed straight to this audition when you arrived. So you finally get a chance to kind of take in the aesthetic of Imperia. And it is a surprisingly bright city for how dark it all is. You can see on one end of the city are these enormous overshadowing cliffs, the Laddie Cliffs, that keep almost the entire city in shadow. And that's a hard thing to do because it is filled with what this world's version of skyscrapers might be. Stacks upon stacks of these pastoral wooden framed inns and taverns and stables and whatnot, all reaching towards the sky. And of course, everything is outlined and lit up in this magical, dazzling light. Every color you could imagine, all of them in Joseph's coat, plus some maybe not even in it.
Don't ask me to do that chorus. I can't.
Yeah, those ones.
You know, if my hood had these colors, I might look handsome and smart and be a walking work of art.
Oh, God.
And so you walk down the street. There's all sorts of mystical advertising on the walls for up on big billboards across these buildings, advertising all the different magical theater shows that are happening and a variety of other advertisable things. As you're walking down the street, headed to Tim Taylor's Tailor and Trinkets, you walk past Paperboy who goes, extra, extra, read all about it. Blythe beats Burn, extra, extra. You walk past him, you walk past a couple, an elf woman wearing a cloak and a man wearing a bowler hat, as you walk down the street, arrive at Tim Taylor's Tailor and Trinkets. It's in the direction that Lily Liedernander pointed you in. It's an unassuming shop door. It's got a window door with an open sign hanging on it. It's got a big window in the front, but you try and squint through it and you can't see much. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Can I do a history check to see if I have any experience with this specific building or this place?
Sure. Go ahead, roll history for me.
All right. Okay, so that is a 9 plus 2, so 11.
So about average. This, you certainly in your time here, Gregory, you had never gone to Tim Taylor's Tailor and Trinkets shop, but you know that this area of Imperia is still kind of the theater district. So while you are surrounded by theaters, also all of the supporting businesses, the restaurants, the inns are held up by the theater business. So while you don't recognize this particular place, you suspect that it also, as Lily and Susie implied, has something to do with theater related items.
All right. Y'all ready to get done up?
First, I cannot help but notice that my companions seem a little bit battered from our previous encounter.
Would you like to do some...
What do you talk?
Do some healing?
I would like to do some healing on whoever needs it the most.
I think that's Gregory.
That'd be me. That is definitely me.
All right. Then I reach out and place an elegant, finely manicured hand on Gregory's shoulder, and I cast Cure Wounds.
Ooh. Excellent. And how much does that cure him
Okay,
for?
That is 1d8 plus 2, so let me see what I got here for you. Oh, 9 points of health. 9 points. That should top you right back up.
Excellent.
And then some.
Gregory goes right back up to full, I believe.
Yep, I'm full. Thanks, D. You're the best.
Excellent. You find yourself in front of Tim Taylor's Tailor and Trinkets. What do you do?
Well, can I knock?
Sure.
It says open. We might as well go inside.
Yeah, I was about to say, why would you knock on, like, a store door?
Oh, it's open? Well, it said it was dark and you couldn't see anything,
it's
so I
windows.
Was worried it might be... Oh. Well, then, can I just go in?
Sure, if you'd like.
Yeah. You all ready to go in?
Just go in.
All right, but you know, I'm gonna really slam this door open because, you know, I like to make an entrance.
You might want to stand back, Gregory.
I'm glad you're warning us. We don't usually get warnings like this. I appreciate it.
Ready to fling! Ready to
right,
fling!
Evelyn, roll strength as you open this door.
Roll. Okay, wait.
Oh, jeez.
Roll yes. strength?
Yes, what he said.
Okay. Oh, this is a great idea. Let's see. I got a 13 plus a 2.
All right, with a 15.
I'm really going for it.
You push on this door, and the thing swings open. And there was a bell that was supposed to ring as the door opens, but you see the bell go ding, 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 and flies off of its little hook and kind of tinkles onto the ground in the store.
Whoopsie.
And you find yourself inside Tim Taylor's Tailor and Trinkets. This place is cavernous. It is huge. 30, 40 foot ceilings tall. To the left and right of you, you see walls covered floor to ceiling in every outfit you could imagine. Glamorous sequined ball gowns, ooh, suit jackets in every gaudy pattern,
oh, wow,
imaginable.
Ooh. I love gaud.
You turn around, you see above the door is the most extensive assortment of hats you've ever seen.
Oh.
Top hats in every color, plumed drum major, long tall hats, fascinators and cowboy hats and more ridiculous hats. You see a witch's hat in the corner. And then the main centerpiece of this store, you see a long counter in front of you, which remains empty. To the left of it is what appears to be a fitting area. There's like a trifold mirror and a little platform to stand on. And above this mirror are hundreds of bolts of fabric, again, in every pattern you could possibly imagine. Behind the counter are not clothes, but the most bizarre assortment of gadgets and gizmos and whatnots, who's its and what's its galore.
Are there thingamabobs?
There's at least 20.
Wow, 20.
Good.
I love a good thingamabob.
You see a gleaming blue parasol. You see dozens of musical instruments. There's a set of bagpipes. There's a cornet. There's a fiddle. There's a strange but interesting looking plant sitting on one of the shelves. There's so many masks. One of the masks, Gregory, you look at and you could swear it winks right back at you. and then in the counter itself has a glass covering, which is also filled with a bizarre assortment of things. There's so many pocket watches, more than you you've ever seen. Prominently displayed, there's a chunk of some sort of, it's like a sky blue crystalline form, and it seems to be kind of pulsating. It's got a bit of a glow to it. And on the counter, there is a rotary-style phone that says Lutona Phone on it, and next to that is a bellhop bell, and behind the counter is a curtained doorway, and that's about all you see in here.
I'm a little distracted. I'm staring very intently at that cornet. So that's what I'm doing. Y'all keep doing your thing.
There needs to be at least 109 more of them.
Exactly. Absolutely.
All right. I want to ding this bell.
shall we have you roll
strength?
Be gentle,
dear. We don't want to break the counter.
No, I'll do it gentle this time. I just want to get their attention because obviously they didn't hear me come in.
How many bells must you break in this place?
Look. They don't call me the bell breaker for nothing.
Oh, God.
Is that what they called you?
Yes, you remember back
in the day.
My
fifth husband had a completely different word for you. It wasn't polite.
Oh. Oh, I love Irvin Borgelin. He was a great composer.
All right. Evelyn, you walk up and you ding this bell.
Ding, ding, ding.
You swear, almost before your fingers touch the bell, these curtains in front of this doorway swing open, and a jolly-looking half-elf man walks out and goes, "Oh, hello there!" And I do have a question. Jess,
yes.
Are you still wearing that cloak?
Yes, very much.
And you see this man go, "Oh my God!" and run back behind the curtain again.
You all right, son?
You might need to take that ridiculous
You're
thing
right?
out.
No.
You scared
no.
him!
No. What I do is I turn it inside out and then wrap it around me like girls do when they got a jacket.
that's good. That's good.
You hear from behind the curtains, "We don't want any trouble here."
Do I look like an understudy to you?
Oh, yes, you do.
I ain't never been no understudy.
I need you to be gone. I've been.
Ignore him. He just has terrible taste in clothing.
That too.
And you see just this man's head poke out from the curtains, just kind of wrapped around the curtains. And he goes, Oh my goodness. Are you? And you see him look left and right, and he goes, "Are you understudies?"
"No, no, 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 no."
"Do I look like an understudy to you?"
"We're so much better than that.
We're all leading ladies.
Even you."
He kind of nervously comes out from behind the curtain, still keeping his, making his eyes leave you, Gregory. And he extends his hand to you, Evelyn, and says, "Hello, the name's Tim Taylor. Welcome to Tim Taylor's Taylor and Trinket Shop."
Charmed.
May I help you with something?
Yeah, we're the new ushers here, and we need to get us some fancy duds.
Oh,
only because I'm curious, and also because I was attacked, and I would like to know why, so I can decide who to punish.
I'm along for the ride, so.
That too.
What a bizarre set of requirements to lay out for someone who is simply a tailor who you just met. He says that in character.
Are you Tim Taylor, the Tim Taylor?
I am indeed Tim Taylor, the tailor man. Welcome to my tailor shop and trinket shop. I am, of course, an artificer. I am one of the keenest tailors in the land, and one of the collectors of if you look around you, you will see artifacts from dozens upon dozens of some of my favorite productions that have ever made it to Imperia. I am what you might call an aficionado of magical theater.
No.
You know, you go to the flea market and you pick up a thing here and you pick up a thing there. And also from time to time, I'm called on to make costumes and whatnot for these various productions. And the Leader Nando organization has me on retainer making usher outfits, which I believe, as you mentioned, is why you're here.
You're one smart tailor.
And you see him warm up and smile at you a little bit. And he goes, "Well, no use in waiting. Shall we get someone fitted up first? I would quite like it if you would take that cloak off, sir. Would you prefer to go first?"
"It's all you, Greg."
"I will go first, but the cloak, I will keep it, but I will take it off."
All right. You take the cloak off. Do you hold on to it? Do you hand it to him?
I put it in a satchel, I believe I have, with like a couple of the other inventories, or I try my best to like shove it into like a pocket.
All right, you halfway shove it into the satchel that you're wearing, okay. And Tim leads you over to this measuring station, this tailor station in the corner, and motions for you to stand up on this platform. He goes, right here, sir. And you stand up there, and he snaps his fingers, and three or four flying tape measures appear. They start measuring you in every way possible, the inseam, your shoulders, around your neck. The tape measures also, I believe you wear a suit jacket normally.
Yes.
So they scooch the suit jacket off your shoulders.
Hey, hey.
Your satchel off.
No.
Tim's like, oh, don't mind. We'll just be a second, sir.
That's not right.
Let it happen.
While
Ryan.
That's happening, Evelyn and Desiree, are y'all doing anything? You looking around?
I'm wandering around a bit.
All right.
Looking at the stuff.
I am still holding my cat, Lord Adametus the 14th, and I would like to cast Speak on Animals with it.
Okay. you do that, I guess.
I tell Addy Snuggly Boy to explore as much as he can in the store.
Okay.
If he sees anything dangerous, to come and warn me immediately.
All right. Lord Adametus, when you speak with him, what does he sound like?
Oh, no.
Oh, very well, madame. I don't have anything better to do. I suppose I can find a rat or two or some kind of tassel to bat around for a few minutes.
She sounds just like a mother.
Very Judy Dench.
And he slinks out of your bag and starts prowling around the counter, unseen by Tim Taylor, just kind of examining the things that are going on there. Evelyn, you also are walking around examining all these different things.
Uh-huh.
And perhaps drawn there by the cat's exploration, you are also drawn to this chunk of crystal under the glass covering of the counter. And you notice that you're pretty sure it was kind of glowing a little bit when you all had walked in, but it is certainly clear at this point that this thing is pulsating light right now. And it seems to be getting faster.
Hey, Tim.
Yes?
What's the deal with this here crystal over here?
Oh, that's...
It's got a lot going on.
That's one of my prized... But you've never seen one of those before? Of course, you all must be new to Imperia, is that correct?
You gonna leave me naked here, Tim?
Yeah, sure, that's it.
Gregory, you're kind of incapacitated by the tape measures, which are just wrapping taking more aggressive measurements of you. It's certainly not damaging you, but it's uncomfortable.
All right.
And Tim continues, that's quite a rare find. That right there, that is a piece of Resilium. Resilium is a very rare and mystical ore. They say to everyone who finds it, it brings them the best of luck. And Gregory, I would like you to roll a perception roll.
Yes, of course. 7 plus... seven.
A seven. All right. With the perception roll, you notice that your satchel with the cloak in it, although the tape measures had knocked it off your body, it doesn't seem to be right next to your feet anymore.
What? Who stole my satchel?
And as you look down, you see Lord Adametus crawl out from the other side of the counter with your satchel between its teeth, Gregory. And what seems to be strange about this interaction is Lord Adametus seems to be yanking on it, and the satchel, or perhaps even the cloak inside of it, seems to be yanking itself in the other direction.
Oh my god, cat, don't lose that.
What is the meaning of this?
Addy cat, get over here! Yeah.
Adametus, Addy, sweetie, drop it,
kitty,
drop
kitty,
it.
Kitty,
Evelyn,
come on, get a treat.
Evelyn, would you roll a perception check as well?
Oh, sure. Perception. Oh, I'm so not perceptive. That's a one.
All right.
It feels in character, though. It does feel
anyway,
in character.
Anyway, so these hats.
Evelyn, Evelyn, you're having a flashback to that moment when you forgot your lines on stage centuries ago.
Oh, no.
And meanwhile, Desiree, I'll give you this one so someone will notice it.
Oh, thank you.
You notice that crystal that Tim was referring to earlier is absolutely pulsating faster and faster and faster. And as it pulsates, you see this cloak inside of Gregory's satchel also kind of try and wrench itself free from the satchel. And it seems to be doing so in time with this crystal.
I think these are related.
This is not natural.
Oh, God. I can't remember my lyrics.
Evelyn, focus on me.
Am I still getting...
It was like Orchid can only sing one note, and the note he sang was what? I don't know. God.
Am I still getting, like, pummeled with, like, these tape measures and stuff, or is that all...
Yes, Gregory, I would say in game mechanics, you are what is called grappled, which means you can't move.
Okay.
Oh, good.
So I'm like still detached, but I saw the cat run away with my stuff.
Okay, I reach out and grab at Addie with one hand and at the cloak with another.
All right. Let's see. Will you roll a... Let's call this dexterity check.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're rolling a dexterity check, and we have a 13.
A 13. With a 13, I will say you absolutely get your hands around Addy and are able to bring him back and return him to your pouch. Your hand reaches out to grab this cloak, and just as you're about to scrape it, the whole cloak itself shoots out of Jess's satchel and rises up into the air. Oh. And you see it floating. And Tim, who's kind of taken on to this whole thing, you see him go, "Oh no!" And he runs back into his quarters. And with that, let's roll for initiative.
Okay, fun stuff.
Oh, jeez, I got a 1.
All right.
8.
8 for Gregory.
Okay, I guess it's a 2 with my initiative thing, but...
Okay.
I got a 9.
A 9 for Evelyn. All right, and let me roll for the cloak. This cloak is floating towards you... threateningly and bizarrely. You're kind of it's actually facing you backwards, so the bird on the back of it is kind of looking at you even though it's inanimate. And Evelyn, you're up first. What do you want to do?
I don't know if I trust this thing.
Okay.
I feel like I have to do something. Probably don't know what. Are we like going into battle mode or should I talk to it?
So it's, you are, I have put you in combat, but you can resolve combat however you want.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily mean you have to attack.
Okay. I still feel like I'm in the throes of that flashback. I don't quite have all my bearings. I'm still not very perceptive. So I'm lost in that moment. And Call Me Dragon, where I can't remember my lyrics. So I feel like I'm looking at your fifth husband, Irvin Borgelin, Desiree.
Evelyn has gone bye-bye, Gregory. What have you got?
Am I still attacked by like these tape measures? Or am I free?
Still grappled, yeah.
You are. Evelyn, you can also prepare an action if you want to say...
I want to try to talk to it. Okay. Because I'm under the delusion it's someone.
Okay.
I know.
What do you say to this cloak that's floating 5 feet off the ground?
Irvin, I swear, I never forgot my lines before. You can't cut me from the show and make me an understudy.
Okay.
They're the worst.
Sure. Roll a persuasion check.
Oh, all right. Persuasion. Oh, okay. Oh, I got a 12.
All right. With a 12, you have kind of looked at this maroon cloak that's floating in front of you and tried to persuade it that it's someone you know. And
Irvin.
You see this cloak take attention to you, and it kind of floats towards you a little bit. And as it's doing so, Gregory, it is your turn. You are grappled by these tape measures. You can't move,
okay.
But you certainly can perform other actions. You can use an action to get ungrappled, or if it makes sense, you can do other actions like spell casting or other things while you're grappled.
Hmm. All right. So can I attack these grappling attributes to try to ungrapple myself?
If you would like.
I would like to do that. Yes, please.
All right. Roll attack. What are you attacking them with? Just like your hands?
Yeah, my hands, because I don't have my dagger or anything on me.
What'd you get?
That's a natural 20.
A natural 20. All right. With a very deft karate chop action, you swat away these enchanted tape measures, and you make a noise like something. That's exactly.
Still got it.
Exactly what I was envisioning. Fall to the floor, and you are ungrappled. And up next is the cloak itself. It's been floating towards you, Evelyn. You did roll a persuasion check, and it didn't work. You see this bizarre cloak kind of reel back, and then Evelyn, it just hurls itself towards you and does a 14 beat your armor class.
Oh, it just does.
All right.
I'm 12.
All right. This cloak slams itself down into you, and as it does, you kind of hit the floor with a not great crack, and I need you to take, 5 points of damage.
Yikes!
Done.
And then next in the order is Desiree.
All right. I cast Produce Flame.
All right.
Let's see. If a flame appears in my hand and I tell the cloak, unhand her at once or you will burn.
Okay. And roll to attack.
Okay. Let's see. I've got, what am I attacking on?
Oh, you know what? You just do it. Let's go back and pretend I didn't make you roll. you cast Produce Flame. Can you read to me what that does?
Let's see. A flickering flame appears in your hand. A flame remains there for the duration and harms neither you nor your equipment. Sheds a bright light. You can also attack with the flame, although doing so ends the spell.
All right.
Right now, I'm just keeping it in my hand, and I'm telling the cloak to unhand to release Evelyn or else.
Okay. Will you also roll then a persuasion check?
All right. Let's see. Gives me a 15.
A 15. Doesn't do it. This cloak is still on top of Evelyn. Evelyn, are you complaining or trying to yell anything?
Yeah. Why did I think this would work?
And we are back up at the top of the order, which means, Evelyn, it is again your turn.
Good luck.
Okay. let's see. I have some spells, and I could maybe try to do a spell.
Sure.
Don't you have dragon breath?
Yeah, probably. yeah, my brass! I can use my brass!
Did you use that last time?
I don't know.
I think I did. Yes.
I think it's once
a campaign.
But you know, I would say the walking here was a short rest. If you want to use your breath weapon again, you can do that.
Okay. I have to remember how this works with the dice. It says 2d6. The six-sided one two times,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. That's a 3. And that's a 6. So 9.
All right. You hit this thing for 9 damage. What does this look like?
I remember the note now. I remember my word.
And as you let that note out, flames emit from your dragonborn mouth, which sends this cloak sailing backwards, and it crashes into the closed door that enters Tim Taylor's Tailor and Trinkets. And on its way, of course, sends that bell that's been sitting on the floor skittering away, and it goes... And next in the order is Gregory, who is now ungrappled.
All right, I come out, and I didn't see any of this happen, correct? Like, this is just my first experience. Like, there's fire. There's everything.
Sure.
Like,
everyone, you've heard a bunch of things happening, including Evelyn complaining about not knowing her lines.
This is not at all what I expected when I came out here. I'm not gonna lie. holy smokes. All right, can I try to do one crazy thing? And this might ruin everything.
Sure.
One crazy thing could save us all.
Yes. I'm going to try to do a performance and persuasion thing at the same time.
Oh, ho.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to try to convince that piece of cloak that it is not a piece of costume. You are not just an understudy. You are the leading star, and no one has given you the respect you deserved. And then I go into the this world's equivalent to All for the Best from Godspell. And trying to get him to tag along.
Well, there's nothing okay. that can't be solved with a musical number.
Exactly.
Cha-cha.
We'll call this a performance check. Go ahead, roll performance.
16 plus 5.
I don't know what this does. 16 plus 5. Jesus. Okay. So you start tap dancing really well in front of this magical cloak that's just been thrown into the wall. You see it kind of like groggily, like kind of sets itself back up. And then it looks as you.
I haven't seen him like this in years.
You're just hoofing it, Gregory. You see it look at you. And it's a piece of clothing. It doesn't really divulge emotion. But if it did, you would kind of get the sense that it doesn't actually seem impressed or convinced of you. It just seems scared of you. It's almost as if it has some lingering memory of moments past. It kind of turns tail, which is actually forward, and the bird portion of it starts to run itself into the glass doorway as if it like a fly trapped behind a window, just going tunk, tunk, tunk harder and harder into the door. And we're going to call that its turn, and now it's Desiree's turn.
Mess him up, but don't wreck my cloak.
All right, well, now I'm really angry, so I hurl my produce flame at the cloak's back.
All right.
Which means I need to make a ranged spell attack, however that looks.
I don't know what that looks like. Let's have you roll dexterity to see how accurate your aim is with this.
Okay. Ah, jeez, I got a one.
I'll give you advantage, also because I want this to succeed, but also because you've been waiting there for a second, and you've been watching this thing.
Okay.
So you can roll again.
All right. Okay, I got a dexterity of 7.
And did you add your dex modifier to that?
Yes.
All right. I'll give it to you with a 7, just barely. But this flame dashes out of your hand towards this cloak, and go ahead, roll 1d8, which is
okay.
The double pyramid.
Okay, rolling 1d8. Oh, I got an 8.
All right. So you see this thing get hit in the corner in its shoulder with a bit of this fire, and it notices it, and like suddenly the cloak itself starts to be on fire, and you see one of the sleeves come up and start trying to pat out the fire on its other shoulder. But also, as it's doing that, because you only rolled a 7, Desiree, your flame also happened to break the window open of the door, and so as the cloak's trying to put out its shoulder, it notices this, and it turns back around to look at the three of you, and then turns and then flees out the doorway into the air.
You lost my coat!
And out of Tim Taylor's store.
Your coat tried to kill Evelyn!
It looked nice!
Greg, we're in a freaking tailor shop!
I do not care how stylish it is. If I can buy you a perfectly fine opera cloak that will not murder anybody.
I won't ever be a T-Bird without that cloak!
Greg, you're too old to be a T-Bird.
Peanuts, Cheerios, M&Ms, get your concessions here.
Welcome to Intermission. It's me, Tommy, your Dungeon Master. This is Intermission. Thank you for listening to episode 2 of Once More with Dragons. This is a new musical theater-themed Dungeons & Dragons podcast. If you made it this far without figuring that out, well, now you know. Best things you can do to help us out, review us on Apple Podcasts. Tweet about us using the hashtag OnceMoreCast. I'm really looking for some names for some D&D-themed musicals.
Maybe if you give us a musical name, you'll see it in an episode later. Check out our social stuff. Tell all your friends. As always, our troupe this week is Evelyn Forte, the brassy mouth dragonborn sorcerer, played by Emily Clark. You can find Emily over at Stealing Focus on YouTube. Dee Soraya, the magnificent high elf druid and daughter of theatrical royalty, is played by Christy Esterly. You can find Christy, aka the diva, over at Musical Hell on YouTube. Gregory Highland, the two-time and dwarfish rogue, is played by Jesse McAnally. You can find Jesse's podcast, Musicals with Cheese, in a podcatcher near you. And of course, I am Tommy Nolan, your dungeon master, musical theater mash, and all places online. Our artwork is by Derek Trost. Thank you to our story consultants, Wes, Katie Flynn, and Jimmy. And always thank you to Broadway Podcast Network for having us on. All of this information and more is at oncemorewithdragons.com, including our Twitter, our Instagram, our Facebook, and our Patreon. Our next episode will be going up on Wednesday, March 25th. That's 2 weeks from now. You can look forward to it then. But until then, enjoy Act 2!
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
You hear from behind the curtains, is it gone? And you see Tim Taylor's head once again poke out from behind the curtains, this time, though, right next to the ground, so as to keep himself more closed off and contained.
Well, you were extremely helpful during that encounter.
Yeah, come on out, Timmy boy.
You could have called off your tape measure so I could been more useful, you know.
I will have you know, sir, that these tape measures were primarily used in the wonderful show.
All I'm hearing is yada, yada, yada. Yada, yada, yada. I don't care.
Sir? And he actually reaches behind himself past this curtain and pulls out three usher's uniforms. He says, listen, these tape measures allow me to work quite quickly. The three of you will find that these fit you perfectly. Yes, I only needed to measure one of you. I'm that good. And
wow. You just wanted to torture me, didn't you? Just because I came in dressed a little different than you'd like.
Sir?
You volunteered. I'm not talking.
Well, you shouldn't have been wearing that usher robe or understudy robe.
I will have you know, the understudies have not been seen in the city of Imperia for years and years and years. And to see one walk in on a bright, sunny day like this, well, it's scary, he says.
Wasn't smart.
Sounds like you got your own prejudices. That ain't my problem.
And he stares you down and looks at the other two of you, Desiree and Evelyn, says, well, if you two would like your outfits, here you go. You, sir, this one will cost you 3 gold pieces.
Oh, Timmy. That's not going to be the way this is going to go down. I was a businessman once, much like yourself, except my store was the road, and the road was my store.
He goes.
I get that sometimes there you get some unscrupulous people. So How about out of the kindness of your heart, and I put my hand on his shoulder once again, very similar to how I did before that, and I've got this big rugged smile on my face. How about we work something out? I give him a wink. And this is also, I'm sure this is probably...
Yes,
I'm going to have to roll for this.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not going to let you just do this. Will you roll persuasion?
Persuasion, all right. 11 plus 1, 12.
All right. You see Tim kind of look at you over the brim of his nose, and you see him soften a little bit, and he goes, "Oh, well, all right. I guess it's been a bit of a crazy day for all of us. You fought. I must thank you for fighting this cloak out of my store, as it seems you have done." And he hands you your usher outfit without much more hustle or fussle, which are real words that I just invented.
I nod at Tim and's like, "That's right, Timmy." I put my hand on his face, pat him twice, and kind of give him a little harder slap on the third one. Thanks, Timmy.
Still got it, Greg.
And he takes 1 point of damage for that. Because I gotta be fair.
Gregory, you are not helping.
Be careful!
But you see him rub his shoulder, and then he turns to the three of you and goes, "Oh, well, that takes care of the outfits. Is there any other of my services you'll be interested in today? I am, as I mentioned, an artificer, a purveyor of fine trinkets and whatnots. I'm always happy to help here or whenever."
That peculiar gem on the counter, where did you happen to acquire it?
Oh, this one, my Resilium. Well, this particular specimen has been in the family for years. My great-grandfather, Timothy Taylor, passed it down to his son, my father. You can imagine his name.
Tamantha.
Steve. and then my father, Stephen Tamantha Taylor, passed it down to me. And Here it sits. You all know about Resilium, do you not?
Well, I don't remember where I heard it. It might have been years ago, but I seem to recall a voice in the back of my head saying,
"I'm not entirely convinced he's telling the truth." Is that? Can I check to see if he's lying?
Sure. Roll perception.
Let's see. 19.
19. Oh. With a 19, you know that he is absolutely telling the truth. This Resilium was passed down to him. It is, as far as he knows, it's something that's considered lucky. And he keeps it just like all his trinkets as a something to, you know, be interesting.
That's where I heard it. It was you just like an hour ago. It's a lucky gem. We could use a lucky gem. I'm just saying.
And he goes, oh, this is quite not for sale. Perhaps some other time you could come in and peruse my menagerie of artifacts.
Perhaps another time, yes.
Tim, before we race off, I have a personal question.
Of course.
I stare back up at that cornet. Where did you find that instrument?
Oh, this. This right here. Well, this is, he walks back to the wall and he lifts it up and he says, well, this is one of the many magic artifacts we have here at Tim Taylor's Taylor and Trinkets. This is the Cornet of Lisping. It is a magical item that is, in fact, on sale today for 200 gold pieces. It is a magical item that you can use against your enemies. It's very useful in combat.
How much gold do I have, Tommy?
I don't think you have 200 gold pieces.
I don't know. And I kind of pulled that out of my ass too, guessing how much gold you have.
Look, I just want to know if it comes with a powder blue mohair suit or a silver plated wah-wah mute.
Where do I find this?
Does anyone else have gold?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I want to make sure.
Let me see. What do I...
Take this off the rails.
I got brass.
Gregory, you don't have anything. I'm going to give you some. Evelyn, you have 10 gold pieces. And Desiree, you have 25. Gregory, I'm going to give you 25 as well.
Okay.
Okay, so 25 gold pieces. So yes. I go up to Timothy. I put my hand on his shoulder. Timmy. I know that is a very special thing you got there, but I think I can make it even more special. And I know what it's like to be a businessman. I've been one. I've been a many a thing. So how about you and I arrange a deal and go for 10 gold?
That is going to be quite a persuasion check.
Do you want me to roll?
Yes, it is going to be quite the persuasion check, I think.
Okay, so it's 5 and plus 1, so 6.
He kind of uses his fingers to pick your hand up off his shoulder and drop it next to you and goes,
You're welcome to return when you have the requisite gold to purchase the Cornet of Lisping. And he places it up against the wall.
Okay, 15.
And waves you off and says, now, unless there's anything else you need or anything else you'd like to
I
look at.
I believe we're quite finished here, Gregory.
All right.
Thank you very much, Tim. It was a pleasure. I shall bring you by an autographed copy of my memoirs, Exit Pursued by an Owlbear.
Yeah, thanks, Timmy. Thanks for getting my chutzpah back.
See you around, Tim. You ain't seen the last of me.
And he groans a little bit and reaches to grab a reaches to grab a broom and a dustpan to go attack the glass that's shattered everywhere.
Wait, DM, real quick.
Yes.
As he does that, can I use sleight of hand to try to steal that cornet?
Okay, it's gonna have to be a pretty good. I'm gonna say you have to beat a 19 sleight of hand to be able to get that.
Oh.
Natural 19 or 19 plus.
You have to beat 19, so better than 19.
I got a 19 right now plus 4, so.
Oh shit!
Oh!
All right. Damn it. Okay. So what does this look like? Tim Taylor is reaching down underneath his counter to grab his dustpan. And Gregory, you very stealthily, roguelike almost, sneak behind the counter, reach up and grab this cornet. And then I assume the three of you are hightailing it out of here.
Mm-hmm. Come on,
let's go, guys. Let's go. Thanks, Timmy. Goodbye.
All right. And,
we run very slowly.
And
no, my legs are moving when I'm stealing. Like I'm real athletic.
I am going to regret this one of these days.
All right.
We should have grabbed a hat.
And I now need to quickly. All right, the cornet.
Da 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 da.
Can't believe that worked, honestly.
That blue moon.
Coming up with the lore of the cornet.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
I did not mean to derail this entire episode.
I had plans to flesh this thing out later. all right, I got it. Gregory, you now begrudgingly have the Cornet of Lisping. Once per long rest, you can blow this magical golden horn, and creatures within 25 feet of you of your choosing must succeed on a DC 13 wisdom saving throw. If they fail for the next 1 minute, they can only talk with a lisp, which affects any communication they have and also makes any spell with a verbal component automatically fail for 1 minute.
Fantastic. All right. Let's go, guys.
That's a good horn.
And the first magic magic item get of our campaign.
Whoa!
So you all are running down the street. You hear from out the window, you hear Tim Taylor go, "What? Hey, you there!" as you all are running past.
Just keep walking.
And so where are you running to?
If we get caught, I don't know you.
I was about to say, did they see me do this, or was it just something I did?
I think...
We're stuck with
I
you,
think
Greg.
They saw... Because you, as we're leaving, you were like, go, get out of here! So I think they... absolutely know that you pilfered this cornet from this poor man.
I thought you'd left that life behind, Greg, I swear.
I do not have enough autographed memoirs to cover for this.
Don't worry.
Everyone's an autographed
just
memoir.
Just say that we're lost whenever, if anyone asks questions, we're fine.
And as you're running down the street, once again, you pass a newsboy who goes, Extry! Cooper crushes crime! Extry! Read all about it!
Good for Cooper.
You run past this newsboy, and then you run past a phone booth that is empty, but the phone in the phone booth seems to be ringing. And do you stop? Do you continue past it? Do you want to engage with the newsboy at all? Where are you running to? What are you all running from?
I walk right up to the phone booth and answer it. Hello?
And you hear a voice on the other end of the line go, Latona Phone Messaging Services, Patty speaking. This call is for Gregory.
I'm Gregory.
Oh, hold on 1 second, Mr. Gregory. And you hear a click and then a boop. And then you hear, oh, Gregory,
Mo Pumpernickel here. You gave me your name today and mentioned you were interested in auditioning for a brilliant new show, Dear Elvin Hansen. I wanted to let you know auditions will begin promptly tomorrow at the Lutonophone Theater down on the corner. If you or any of your compatriots are interested, I hope you'll come out. Yeah, okay. And then he hangs up.
Where at? Where do I have to go?
You exit the phone booth.
Who was that? Who was that calling you from a phone booth? Was it for you, Gregory?
Believe it or not, it was.
No kidding.
I think we have another date for tomorrow night. Another audition if you guys are interested.
What?
As you all are having this very stilted conversation, very loudly. This tiny newsboy who you had run past walks up to you and goes, "Listen, folks, I'm just trying to sell a paper. Can I sell you a paper, please?"
"Hey, kid, where are you from?"
"I'm from Imperia. I was born here. I'm a child of the streets."
"Aww.
Oh, obviously.
Yes.
Oh, well, buy a paper from you. Kid. How much is it?"
No, they'll just sell the papers.
"No, let's buy the paper. I want to read more about these headlines he keeps screaming out."
All right, that'll be one gold piece. This is not what a paper boy sounds
holy.
Like. "One gold piece. One gold piece, please."
"That's rather expensive for a paper."
"Yeah.
Wow. Well,
oh, I can get a gold. I could spend a gold piece on a newspaper."
"All right, we'll share."
"All right, thank you."
"All right, that's nice. That's
thank
nice.
Thank you, ma'am."
Do
he,
run along.
Yeah. Make good choices, little kid."
"Oh, I never
seize the day."
"I never do." And you see him skip off away in time to the other paper boys who are also skipping down the street with him.
"Oh, they're very charming. Virile.
Oh, I love a. There's nothing like a paperboy's jeté, isn't there?"
No, nothing.
You have in your hands an issue of Imperia Daily. The main headline at the very top, it says, "Dragotha Delights. Previews of Hello Dragotha have been going quite well," you get from the article. "Early rumors of the leading actress, Caroline Chandler, being nervous about the project seem unfounded." Below that, a couple other articles. There's one that says, "Cooper crushes crime." Beneath it, there's a picture of a waving woman with gigantic hair. And underneath it, the caption says, "Laura Louver Cooper, mayor of Imperia, declares crime the lowest it's been in decades."
"Until today."
"Wow, Greg."
To the right of that is another article. It says, "Blythe beats Byrne." And underneath it, the article describes how the May Blythe Theater had a fire scare last week, but thanks to the work of their anti-magic marshal, the crisis was averted, and performances of Cyclops and the Chocolate Factory will resume next week.
It's a classic.
Where are y'all headed? What do y'all want to do?
Do you guys want to go to the Patinkin, rest up before our big day tomorrow? We got an audition and we got a show.
I think we could all use a rest. None of us are as young as we used to be.
Well, that is very true.
What time is it in relation to, comparative to human time?
Comparative to human time, it's getting later in the afternoon. It's probably time to...
Time for bed, guys.
We should have dinner and a rest.
Yes. All right. You head down the street past, in the other direction, the Demps Hohenstein, where you auditioned, where you see that same giant smiling face of Caroline Chandler on the marquee above the theater. And you turn the corner and you see a marvelously gigantic building there with a glowing orange sign above it that says the Patink Inn. It's at least a 7-story building with a stone first floor and then wood thatched gables all the way up.
Gables.
This is a beautiful hotel.
Lovely.
Can we afford this? Am I going to have to steal a room?
It feels like it probably, feels like it probably gets more erratic the higher up it gets. we should at least go in and see make this happen.
All right. The three of you, shoulder to shoulder, open the double doors into the Patink Inn.
Da-da-da-da-da.
And you are greeted by the most raucous, out of tune group singing around a piano in the corner of the tavern on the first floor of this inn and tavern. There's a ghostly figure at the piano and it sings to you, "Suddenly Sphinxes," and everyone's singing along with it. And it goes, "Tell me this question lasts till forever. Answer this riddle, keep him at bay." And everyone else joins in. "A head on a lion is so strange and frightening, but solve his enigma and you'll walk away." And everyone joins in. "Suddenly Sphinxes." And there's a whole bunch of people.
I hum along, but I only know the chorus.
I swear, every piano bar you walk into, it suddenly sphinxes.
Suddenly sphinxes.
You... no, that's wrong.
Gregory!
What? I'm singing the song!
You walk in, and you find yourself in the tavern on the first floor of the Patink Inn. It's got wood-paneled walls. The floor is very sticky. It seems very cramped. Mm. There's a piano in the corner with a bunch of patrons singing around a ghostly figure. There's brown bentwood chairs around a variety of tables. Twinkly yellow lights trace the ceiling. It's very cramped. And, of course, at the bar, which seems to be the front desk as well, you see a very large humanoid figure with blue skin and a kind of a tight army cut.
Looks like he's the man we should talk to.
Let's go up. I greet the man. Hello, good chap. How are you doing today?
I guess, how's it going? The name's Mandy.
That's a girl's name. I don't.
And he hears you say that, Evelyn, and he goes,
"Why?
Listen,
I whispered,
ma'am. I hear that a lot. Us furbolgs have very non-traditional names, but I assure you, Mandy can be anyone's name here. How may I help you? Welcome to the Patink Inn."
I start turning on like the flirty appeal because like those broad shoulders. I'm like, we're looking for a room there, Mandy. Is that something you can help us out with?
And Gregory, as you turn around, Mandy sees the usher outfit you have draped over your shoulder and says, "Oh, are you all from the Liedernander organization? I've heard they've been looking for ushers for quite some time."
"Yes.
We're more than just ushers," wink.
"What?
All you have to be is ushers around here, and if you're part of the Liedernanders, you've got a room with us." The Patink Inn is always open to anyone as part of the Liedernander organization.
Lovely.
Fantastic. We like that room.
Excellent, excellent. I'll set you up with a room on the fourth floor. It'll be a just second if you want to sit down. And he pours the three of you a nondescript beer-looking or ale-looking drink from the tap. Says, "Have a load off. Feel free to sing along. It's you know, musical Sundays here. Magical musical Sundays, which is totally a thing I thought of beforehand." And I don't know what my voice sounds like yet, but feel free to take a load off, and we'll have those rooms ready soon.
Mandy, before you go, can I have something that isn't ale? I don't imbibe alcoholic beverages.
Of course, a man of my own tastes.
And he reaches under the counter and hands you just an orange, just like a full orange. Says, "Here you go," and then he walks away.
Oh, you love these.
I grab a straw from behind the counter and shove it right into the orange, like the Tropicana logo.
All right. You look around the bar. You see a bunch of different things. You see this group gathered around the piano. You see an elf in a green cloak sitting alone in the corner with a hood over her head, sitting all alone. You see a lady who looks very popular, dressed in bright pink, who has big, big hair, who looks kind of familiar. You see a half-orc with green skin. He's at the end of the bar. He's got a couple half-orcs around him and seems to be regaling them of some tale. And then at the other corner of the bar is an Aarakocra, a bird person. He's sitting alone, seems a little down in the dumps, just kind of nursing his drink.
That blonde girl seems familiar to me. I feel like I hate her.
Are you sure? You couldn't remember what year it was earlier this afternoon.
No, something about her.
Evelyn, I don't trust you to memorize your lines, let alone memorize a face.
What? Look at her. Look at that pink in that head. Desiree, are you telling me you don't hate her?
Well, I don't know if I hate anybody until I get to know them. Then I usually hate them.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I want to see if I remember her.
Everyone's a future friend if you're looking at it like that. All strangers are just future friends. So I waltz up.
Yeah, future competition.
Right up to the girl that they're all talking shit about. Waltz right all up right. to her.
I don't know.
You walk up to this lady and she says, "Well, then I said to them, if you're not going to get those miscreants off the street, then my name isn't Laura Coover Cooper." And everyone around her laughs. And you realize in this moment, Jess, this is the lady you saw the picture of in the newspaper, the mayor of Imperia, Laura Louver Cooper.
Yeah.
Hello, 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 Miss Cooper. I hear you're doing great things around here.
Oh, and she blushes a little bit. Oh, I'm always excited to meet a fan.
Oh, truly, truly. And we are new to this town relatively, and we just love the feeling that we have around here. Crime is down. No one's stealing anything from shops. It's fantastic.
Well, of course. Imperia, the City of Lights. It's brighter here. You know who wrote that? I did.
Oh. Ladies, ladies, you guys know Miss Cooper, right?
I'm charmed.
Oh, yeah, Miss Cooper, the mayor. You were saying crime was down, right?
Oh, yes. Ever since our zero tolerance policy on magic in the streets and our
magic in the sheets, too.
Oh, Gregory.
And she looks at you, Gregory, and kind of raises one eyebrow. She says, and of course, our understudy take care of brigade. No, I need a better name than that.
It's a work in progress.
The UTCB.
UTCB.
Understudy take care of brigade.
The same understudies that attacked us only twice today, was it, Evelyn and Gregory?
I call it 1.5 times, you know.
You say that, Desiree, and the smile is wiped straight off of Laura Louver Cooper's face. Oh. And she leans over to you and whispers very aggressively, what was that you just said?
We were attacked by understudies twice. Well, I suppose 1.5 since Gregory stole one of their cloaks and it attacked us, but...
And you see her...
It is still a matter of some concern.
Knocked me right down.
You see her move swiftly and sharply, and she says to the laughing group of people around her, she suddenly puts on a fake smile very quickly, goes, folks, I must attend to some business back at the office. Mayor's work is never done. And like a flash, she bolts out of the bar, just grabbing her coat off the chair and exits quickly.
Oh, well, that went over well.
Told you we hate her.
I looked at Desiree I'm like, I like her.
I don't trust her. Got to keep an eye on that one.
As she does, because things quieted down a little bit in the bar now that Laura Louver Cooper isn't holding court with her group of people anymore. And you hear behind you this woman in the this elf woman sitting in a green cloak behind you. You can hear just the most faintest, quietest little sobs. And she goes,
I gesture towards her and start walking as if to imply, yeah, let's go see what's going on there.
Yes. Be nice.
Use your tact now, Gregory.
We ought to let one of us take the lead.
Be nice. Don't hit on her. Don't be gross.
Let me try it one more time. You guys get the next one.
All right. So you're walking over to her. Yeah. What does this look like? What do you do?
Is she like at like a corner bar seat where there is like a chair in front of her, like on the other side of the table?
She's got a smaller table all by herself. There's a couple extra chairs around her. It's definitely in the corner of the bar.
Okay, I stand behind the chair and I was like, excuse me, young lady, is this seat taken? Can I join you?
She looks up at you, and for the first time, you can see her face. And the first thing you notice are the brightest white teeth you have ever seen. And undoubtedly, crying in the corner is the leading actress of Hello, Dragotha, Caroline Chandler.
Oh
my gosh, Miss Chandler, I did not realize.
Caroline!
Remember how you made it here, a game of truth or dare. You rolled the dice with confidence, now the fortunes we can share. The finish line is drawing near, just keep your eye on the prize. A new star has calling you, why don't you try it on the side?
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway,
Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.